Jesus, who I woke up this morning with my mind. Praise the Lord. Stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. Hallelujah. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm walking and talking. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Amen. Say thank you, Lord. Glory. Oh, I'm walking and talking with my mind. Thank you, Lord. Stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Oh, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind. Think about it. Stayed on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are privileged people to wake up with our minds stayed on the Lord. Amen. Just thinking about this morning's message, and I was listening to a tape yesterday, and Brother Brenham, he was talking about Paul. He said he could have rebuked that young lady that was following him around, but he said he wanted to wait on God. He said he could have done it, but once God gave him that go-ahead, it was finished. But he says God has the preeminence, and that's what he was talking about, God having the preeminence in our lives. So when we wake up in the morning and our minds is on the Lord, what a privilege. When everything we're doing, we're taking it to the Lord in prayer. That's His grace. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. I woke up this morning with my mind. Set on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're walking and talking. We're walking and talking with our mind. Stayed on Jesus. Oh, we're walking and talking with our mind. Stayed on Jesus. We're walking and talking with our mind. Oh yes. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Glory, let's stand. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, oh, He died up on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Do you know it? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, oh, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Aaron, you don't mind helping us out, brother? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for that blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. May you be seated. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 141. For my cleansing, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow, yes, that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow, yes, that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, yes, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, thus I sing. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I bring nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow, yes, that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just the music. Amen, everybody. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. My wife, you want to come on up? Praise the Lord Jesus. Nothing but that precious blood. Amen. I have my better half once again. Give us a special. Her and I, we become complete. We're one. We come together. Amen.
And I just wanted to sing this song. I mean, the word was such a blessing this morning, Brother Dale. And it just brought all those things to me, like, it's only by His grace, it's only Him that saved me. Something good in me. I can't even keep up. The Lord is always keeping me. Yes, thank you for this. I want to sing Unworthy today. That's how I feel before Him. I feel thankful that He saved me. Unworthy am I of the grace that He gave, unworthy to hold to His hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. Unworthy am I of the grace that He gave. Unworthy to hold to His hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but He made me worthy, and now by His grace, His mercy has made me His own. My sorrow and sickness laid stripes on His back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that He wore on His head. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but He made me worthy, and now by His grace, His mercy has made me His own. Unworthy am I of the glory to come. Hallelujah. Unworthy with angels to sing. I thrill just to know that He loved me so much. A pauper I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but He made me worthy, and now by His grace, His mercy has made me His own. Unworthy am I of the glory to come. Unworthy with angels to sing. I thrill just to know that He loved me so much. A pauper, I walk with a King. Unworthy, unworthy. Mercy has made me His own.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Amen. We weren't worthy, but that mercy. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing 399. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Until then, amen. We're looking, we're expecting, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Till then, with joy, I'll carry on. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. Amen. With all your heart. But until then, my heart will go on singing. But until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The last verse, this weary world with all its toils and struggle may take its toll. Yes, it does. Of misery and strife, the soul of man is like a waiting eagle when it's released. It's destined for the sky. Everybody. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Thank you, Lord. But until then, with joy I'll carry on. Praise Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Until the day my eyes behold that sea. Praise Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Think about it. Thank You, Father. The day God calls me home once again, but until then, my heart will go on singing, but until then, with joy I'll carry on, until the day my praise. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory. Thank You, Lord. Until the day God calls me home. We'll sing it as our brother comes out. But until then, my heart will go on singing. But until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me on.
Thank You, brother. Glory.
Well, we're about it then. We ain't far from it. When that song was penned, there probably was a lot of years waiting, but now there's not a lot of years waiting. The reality's here. Amen. I know we believe that and we see it. If you got your Bibles, you want to, let me get the announcements out of the way, brother. Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Okay. Get your shield. Yep. Get your face shield. Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Ladies will be meeting afterwards to figure out what they're going to do. I was looking back on our Father's Day trip, and what we had done is I had forgot, but I look back. We're going to be there Wednesday. We've got it for Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, not just Thursday night and Friday night, because we didn't have a good length of time to go. And I think the sisters are going to do that also. And I know it's June, but still, I'm going to announce it because somebody will forget it. But June the 17th, so we're going to have church service on Tuesday night that week. Brother Dale's let, so the sisters can do what they do. And what we were going to do, I know, I remember we talked about it last time, is we was going to get there at 4 o'clock, and then some of us, you know, the ones that opened up the cabin will come back down here to church Wednesday. But if we'll have church on Tuesday, then we'll just get up there Wednesday, and we'll have Wednesday night. The sisters will have time to get there on Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, and come back Saturday at about 11 or 12 o'clock. So just keep that in your heart. I'll call Brother Chris Long. He and Brother Ronnie, his son's going to be here with us. So I'll tell them they need to be here on Tuesday, not Wednesday. So, for us to leave on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So just keep that in your mind. Also remember Brother Kern. Again, he's diagnosed with the virus, but he's doing better. So we ask that you just keep him in your prayers. Also remember communion right after service. Brother Kern is sitting outside. So that's all right. Amen. That's good. And that brings me to number one thing I want to, since we're getting all back to church again, I want to read you a couple of quotes from Brother Branham. I know we all getting back to church again and everything. I was always a manager when I was growing up and never was much I was a laborer some. But when you become a manager and take a position, you have certain responsibilities. Brother Branham said, we're not an organization, we're an organism. An organism is a whole with interdependent parts. Brother Branham said in Church Age, Church Order in 1958, he said, may every officer of the church fill his post of duty, knowing this, that God is going to hold you responsible for how you held your office in the church. Each one will have to give an account. Brother Branham said in 1961, wasn't so from the beginning. I think every person ought to be at your post of duty when your church is open. That's correct. That's exact. You should stand by your pastor and stand by your board and stand by your church. Brother Branham in 1962, he said, we always want the people to stay at their post of duty. Now what he's doing, he's announcing church services somewhere else. He said, but if your church is open, you be at your post of duty. Now listen, post of duty to me means you've got an office. Like I said about management. When you get into management, you're required. Listen, if one of my trucks didn't get out, if one of my employees didn't come in when I owned a trucking company, guess who drove the truck? Okay? I stayed and drove the truck. I didn't gallivant off somewhere and take a vacation. Okay? Everybody got that? When your church is open, every soldier ought to be at his rank and in his place. Brother Brown said in 1963, perseverance. Now, if you have a post of duty, you go there. That's what you're supposed to do. Always stand at your post of duty. That's your duty to God and your pastor and the rest of your congregation. Okay? So if you got an office in this church, you should be here. Now, we know, as Brother Dale said this morning, it's good to get these people out preaching, these young brothers out preaching, but don't everybody leave at one time. You got a post of duty right here. Now, if you're preaching somewhere, that's different, but just go out and fellowship and gallivanting around, that's not right. If you have a post and a job to do. Right. Now, Brother Chris, only post that he's got to do is sit in that seat right there. And he said, okay, that's fine. Now, if he goes off and wants to visit the Brother So-and-so's church, that's okay, but just let us know. All you, listen, y'all can get on Facebook and talk about your dog having diarrhea, but you can't tell your pastor that you ain't going to be here. He's the one you need to tell. If you're a minister, if you're a song leader or any kind of musician, tell Brother Joe Canada. Tell me. We're right here. But I will always, if I'm the only, me and Brother Dale's only two people here, I'm staying here. Even if I have something I had to do, because this is my post of duty. Now, we do go out and preach, but we make sure we have a backup plan like Brother Branham said. He said, we're an organism, and an organism has interdependent parts. If you have a part in this church, you need to be here when the doors are open. I'm just reading quotes. And you should be able to do that anyway. That should be, now if you don't want to be, resign. If you don't want to be, and that's okay too. Sometimes I hated being a manager. I wanted to resign. I wanted to just be where I go in and go, give me do my 8 hours and let me go back home. I wasn't built for that, I guess, because I never was able to do that except a long, long time ago at McDonald's. But if you have a post of duty, you have a responsibility. Not to another church, to this church. Does not say that you don't need to go out and go to fellowship meetings. That's not, but if I'm reading quotes, Brother Ram said, if you have a church to go to and it's open, you need to be here. Right. I think that's really simple, but some of us get oversimplified every once in a while and have to be told that it's wrong to do those things. So it reflects, because you know what it does? If you have a job here and we look around and we see empty seats here, or we see all the preachers gone and nobody's here, you know what it does? We start asking, well, where's so-and-so and where's so-and-so? And if nobody knows where so-and-so is, we got a problem. I don't want to know your business, but if you got business in this church, does everybody understand what I'm saying? If you got a post of duty, if you ain't going to be here, don't pull a Burley Williams and call at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. He don't care if I tell him, he knows that. He's called me at 8 o'clock at night, and he's already in Ohio going to preach Sunday, and he wants me to preach for him that morning. So we know better than that. We just don't get up on Sunday morning and go, I think I'll go to church somewhere else. Well, if you do, then that's okay. But if you have an office in this church, you should not do that. This is your post of duty right here. And if, like I said again, if you don't want to do that, it's not going to hurt our feelings. Now I'm talking, me and Brother Dale, we already discussed this. You got to have a post of duty filled. Right. Look back here today and I saw empty seats. There was nobody playing the guitar. There was nobody playing this. What are we doing? You should want to fill a place. You should want to fill a position. If you don't, then that's okay. Do like Brother Chris. Come to church, shave your head, come to church and come to work. And then smiling eyes is all I see. But you know what? Brother Chris is happy that, and I'm happy with to see him here. Because that's his post of duty, Brother Brown said, even just sitting in a pew. But we miss you when you're gone. I'm trying to make it a little bit funny, but we do miss you when you're gone. And we do wonder, not to be nosy, but you never know. You just say, wow, where you been? What you been doing? Just reading what the prophet said. But this church, we're getting back to doing things. I know, and I was thinking yesterday, we have become so, I don't even remember last year very much. Just things went by and it was all abnormal and we didn't do this and we didn't do that. And now we're trying to get some normalcy back. So it just, sometimes it takes a little bit of shaking to get us back into our routine. And I hope and pray that we get back into Sunday school and Bible study and all those things, because I long for that. Whether you do or not, I long to get together and talk about the Word of God. I don't like this staying separate, because you know what? The devil likes for us to stay separate. Amen. He likes for us to stay away from each other. You know why? Because he's got more time in your brain. But when you got people around you, they're uplifting and building you up and talking about the Word of God and talking about what God's done in your life. Then you know what? The devil has no place there. He hates that. And I love that, because he leaves. Because resist the devil and he'll leave and flee from you. So just take that to heart. Just remember, if you have a post of duty, you need to be here. That's just pretty simple. If you got a job, if you don't want the job, somebody else may else want it. But Brother Brown said you're responsible to God. Not to Brother Dale, you're responsible to God for what you do. So let's just all be careful and do the right thing. So God bless you. Just wanted to kind of get, we're, like I said, we're starting back together, getting things back in where everybody's coming up front now, and make sure we all wear a mask and keep this thing out of here. So, Lord bless you, and let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that we're living and the time we have to be here. Forgive us of our faults and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. I pray today that you would be the active participant in this service, Lord. You do the speaking. Thank you, Father, for the song service and the specials, Lord, the different things, the players. Lord, we truly are an organism, and we can't have two hearts, two lungs, two livers, and all those different things, Lord. We have one heart that functions. We have a set of lungs. Lord, we have people that function here, Lord, and being Holy Ghost-filled people, Father, we pray that we'll do the things that are acceptable to you. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Just be with each one that's on the highways, ones that are traveling, Lord. Be with our pastor. Keep him safe. Be with Brother Kern out there. Lord, bless his heart. Out wanted to come to church so bad. I pray that you would put that fire in every one of our heart. Every one of our hearts, Lord, that we want to be here more than we want to be sick. Father, we pray that you'd just be with us now and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some people would rather be, I saw a thing yesterday, a sign somewhere that says, some people would rather be sick than well. And they would, because they wouldn't have nothing to complain about. Hebrews 9 verse 11, we're still on eternal redemption, and we're going to get a little bit into the first three dimensions, and I got a little thought I want to share with you. That when, you and I are living in three dimensions, right? The time, life, and matter. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday. But you remember, you're in a three-part person. Body, spirit, and soul. So you've got, and those are to connect you to this world and to the other world. To another dimension. Amen? And we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll read some of the things that Brother Brown said about that. He said, but Christ being a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, goats, and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's read number one real quick. We got to take communion today, so we won't be very long. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, was supposed to even be written before Moses wrote Genesis. But the oldest book in the Bible was speaking of redemption. And yet redemption was far, way before that. You know, I was thinking also yesterday, when God was writing his first Bible, when he looked down through time by foreknowledge, he had to step out of eternity and look into time. Because that's what he's writing. He's writing about our journey and Moses' journey. Moses wasn't up in heaven as a person. He was down here. So God can move through, what I'm saying is God can move through any dimension, like Brother Dale was preaching this morning. Jesus Christ, before he was glorified. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Before he went to the cross, before he had a body change, he couldn't walk through a wall. He was limited by the time, life, and matter that he came down in. He was an eternal person. But now when he came back after the resurrection, he appears to the disciples, and he just walked through the wall. Right. Brother Brown said he went through so fast till the atom just broke up, and then he came, what? Then he became solid again because they said, oh, he's a ghost. And he said, no, give me some fish. Right. Where'd that fish go? Right. It went into his body. Right. All right. So that's what we're looking at, is that when we see this, that God wrote this plan of redemption, he had to go ahead and look. He had to go drop into time, watch everything that went on in time, and then pull back up into eternity to write the Bible, because that's what he's writing about this right here. If this was the book of the life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of God, that had to happen, but he had to see it. It had to be in his thoughts. How many of you have vivid thoughts and vivid imagination? And boy, some of you I know do. Known you for a while. What do you laugh for, Freda? Bless your heart. She can't call me old man in just a few months. She'll be as old as me. Bless her heart. But redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Redemption was even, plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed. Think of God, see, foreseeing, foreknowledge, and making a way of redemption before he even made the world. So he dropped down into time, watched time through all these 6,000 or 7,000 years that he's watched time, or longer, and then now he popped back up in eternity. But remember, he's an eternal being. He can do that. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He has no limitations. He's an unlimited God. But he decided to limit himself to come down here in human flesh, as Brother Dale's talking about. That same creator come down into this real slow first three dimensions and became a body, a spirit, and a soul for the plan of redemption to be fulfilled. All right, so now, because Titus, watch Titus 1 verse 1, says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The Bible said, who did he swear by? He swore by himself. So he is the orchestrator, and he is the master scientist. He's the master of everything, because he's the one that done it. But you and I have to do what? By the fall, we were detached from God. Now we got to get back attached back to God. But we know that, how do you do it? Through preaching. That's Paul, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Right. Brother Dale he's always been my dad, but he's always been a positive guy, and he brings that positivity, that is a word, look it up, Google it. He brings that positivity into the message of the hour, where it's not so wowsy woo and doom and gloom. Right. Why? Because that's the way I think God is.
Right.
God's not, sure, he got ill at people. He got mad, right? Got angry, got jealous. God's got all these attributes that we think, no, that's just reserved for human beings. No, he said, I am a jealous God. I am a loving God. There's only one. and I'm it.
That's it. Right.
That's what he said. He said, there's no other God beside me. There's no other God before me. I am the only God.
Amen.
Now, he can say that because he backed it up. But through preaching and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can say the same thing, that you are a part of God. The same part of God that said, let there be light. The same part of God that that created man in his own image. Because you're the image that he created. You know, Brother Ray, you're the very living image of that Genesis 1:26 man. That's why I love it so much. If you'll connect yourself to that, that's your image. And God created, you put your name, I don't care if you're a sister too, put your name in. God created Wade in his own image, and the image of, it just got separated by the fall so that he could be a redeemer, so that he could be a healer, so that he could be a savior, because he had those groaning attributes inside of him. And they had to, the only way, as Brother Luis read the quote a long time ago, the only way that God could fulfill his correct and full purpose is to become human flesh.
Right. That's right.
It was, listen, I don't want y'all to get the idea that God said, oh man, I gotta go down there now and get human. And right. That was the whole plan.
Right.
He loved it.
Right.
You don't take my life. He said, I give it. Amen. He didn't die. The Roman spear didn't kill him. The Roman nails didn't kill him. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He died when he wanted to, when he had to. He was in complete control on that cross. And thank God you and I were there with him. Amen. All right. So Ephesians 1, we know Paul speaking of the Ephesians in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, not chosen of him, but chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now what is adoption? Adoption is what? The placing of a child, the organism that we're talking about. Brother Brown said four people can't be a heart. One heart. But you can be a kidney, you can be a pinky, you can be a little, you can be a pointer, you can be an arm, you can be a leg. Cause that's the body of God. The body of God is not just one big heart. The body of God is feet, toes, legs, and all the way up to the neck. And that's what you need to find out where you're at and get in it. That's your post of duty. Somebody's posted duty in this church is to pray for us every week that you'll get a good sermon from God.
Amen.
Oh, that's just it. That's the bet. Brother Brown said, how the success of my meetings is what? Your prayers.
Right.
He said, two women, remember the two old ladies? He said, they prayed in that closet. And he said, I had success because of their prayer.
Right.
Wow. To me, that's a post of duty. But they knew what it was and they got into it. They got an unction from God and they started praying. How many of you prayed for a good service?
Amen.
Amen? You should pray for a good service. Why would you not? What do you come here for? If you're not praying for a good service. We need to fellowship with God. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath accepted us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness is what? Sins. According to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us. So there's something, as Brother Dale was talking this morning, there was something that God was going to make known. Now He was going to make known. The Father was going to declare the Son, and the Bible says the Son declared the Father.
Right.
Where were we?
Right.
Inside that Son. So what happened? He amorphied on the day of Pentecost. It didn't do away with that Son, because that Son of God came back on the day of Pentecost inside the people and inside your Pentecost, on your day of Pentecost. He came inside of you, but you and I live under the open book, the Son of Man, showing that this thing can be redeemed. Right here. Luther couldn't do it because Luther laid in the floor and beat himself with whips trying to get this thing and his thoughts lined up with God. Couldn't happen. He was under justification.
Right.
But still the longing was there.
Right.
The longing was there. Even under Luther, coming out of Catholicism, his longing was to be better and to be a Christian and not be what he was, what he saw back in the... do you do the same thing? I don't want to be what I was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 3 months ago. And you know what? We all got denominational ideas. Hello. All of us do. So thank God he's got us out of that. That stinking thinking we're talking about. Now look, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together what? This organism, this body of Christ, he's going to bring it in together. In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Even in him. I want you to pay attention to that. Heaven and earth. Because we're going to get something to it in just a minute. Whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In other words, no, you didn't have anything to do with God calling you, but you did have something to do with answering him.
Yes, sir.
Amen? You had nothing to do. Many are called, few are chosen. God wills that no one be lost. But he knows who will accept it and walk in it, and he knows who will not. We don't. That's why they said, Brother Bram, you preach it, why do you even preach? If everything's, you know, in other words, there you go, that predestination, cut and dry. He said, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. He said, I keep preaching the gospel, throw the net out there. I might get snakes, I might get frogs, but I get a couple of fish every once in a while. Amen? Because in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's read Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. This is just a little bit more on foreknowledge. For whom he did foreknow. Everybody understand what we're talking about?
Amen.
Foreknowledge is first. F-O-R-E, fore. Before. Before God could predestinate, he had to have knowledge of what he's going to predetermine. Everybody got that? He had foreknowledge. He stood here in time and he watched everything unfold. He said, all right, this is what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. But remember, he didn't come down here and influence you or anyone else more than he did anyone else. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He saw what your choice would be. And you know what he done? He also knew that your choice would be, when he come down here and he was on earth and he preached a sermon about the seed and the sower, and one was on stony ground, one was on this kind of dirt, one was on this kind of dirt. What happened? The seed was planted, but the cares of life made that seed die. The roots didn't get far enough. It didn't get planted deep enough, so the birds came by and took it away. All these different things. That's what he saw happen because he's a seed planter. He's been a seed planter since the beginning of time.
Glory.
He's the only one that is a seed planter.
Yes.
Amen? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. Who he justified, them he also glorified. So he knows how far you're going to go.
Right.
He knows how far everybody's going to go. But yet he's not going to ever come. That's why I said it's just real simple how the devil works. God says you can make it.
Right.
Satan says you're worthless. You say, no, God tells me, God's not going to tell you you're worthless.
Right.
Listen, I in myself know I'm worthless.
Right.
But I look, what? I was chosen in him.
Amen.
So if he went to Calvary, Brother Chris, if he took my stripes, if he took my shame, if he took every sin I ever committed, then where am I? The sinless. Perfect bride of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he will present to you without spot or wrinkle. A glorious church, the Bible tells us. So let's just start listening to what the Bible says and forget what the devil says.
Amen?
Power of God. The word predestinate, that's not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better. Now this is a prophet speaking. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks to destination. But God not making, setting in order a little hole that you have to go through. Do you understand that? To be a righteous judge, he cannot. Now, there's been billions of people on this earth. He can't treat them no different, or they can stand in the day of judgment and say, you treated me different. Every person was put on free moral agency, even the devil himself and his angels were put on free moral agency because they chose his message over the Lord's. We already covered that. But God knew that. He predestinated. I was thinking yesterday, and sometimes you have to kind of get a little, you have to eat a brownie every once in a while. Terrence likes brownies, so we have to eat a brownie every once in a while. Puts you in a different mood. But you know, the Bible says, and even Brother Brown says, God, we'll talk about that later, God cannot see your sin. Even as a Christian, remember, he hears your voice through the blood. But now I believe he has a legion of angels, though, that can come down and walk right beside you. Even through all the things you do. Because listen, what did Brother Brown say on adoption? He said the Holy Spirit would go back to the Father. Now he's using it as an illustration. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave your body and go over it. No. It's communicating. We'll get to that in a minute. Listen, God put you in flesh to stay right here.
Right.
But he made you a soul first.
Right.
And that soul can go there.
Right.
How do you get a revelation? You don't get a revelation in this dimension. You get a revelation coming from another dimension.
Right.
When it's from God, it's coming from somewhere else.
Right.
So that makes you a spiritual person and a human person. Wow. But we look and see that by foreknowledge, though, he knew who would and who wouldn't. And he knew how far you would go. And even, like I said, in adoption, he knows how far you could go and he knows how much he can give you. You know, a lot of times we pick on our kids a lot, but we were kids too at one time. But you know, your parents expect a lot out of you. Some do good, some don't. But God expects a lot out of you, but he knows the end from the beginning. We don't. But you know what you got to do as a human being, though? If you put yourself in Christ, won't that Holy Spirit direct you? Isn't that what it was given for? To lead you and guide you into all truth? If you'll let that spirit man on the inside listen to what's saying from that other dimension, not what's going on here, because remember, look, Brother Harris had a good quote. I like what he said. He said, these three, he said, where you're living at is not even so. This is not even supposed to be.
Right.
I mean, it is. We're here, but it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Right.
We were supposed to come through Adam and Eve and just have a glorious time and always be in Eden and always be in eternity. But that didn't happen.
Right.
So this is all working under permissive will, because none of this, everything you see, the Bible says, is temporal or temporary.
Right.
And the body you live in, which is a mortal body, has to be changed to make immortal, or it has to go to a grave, but that doesn't do away with you.
Right.
You go into another dimension, whether it be 5 or 6, thank God for a prophet to tell us where they all go.
Right.
Thank God for a prophet to tell us
right. That
we live in 3 dimensions. And even if you look that up, I've been looking it up through the week, because we think dimensions, and it is dimensions that are faster and slower. But you know, we live in 3 dimensions. Aaron, what's the scripture that's the height, the depth, and the breadth? We live in that dimension. Dimensions. Length, height, breadth. I look at depth perception because the wall's back there. See, we live in this world that has dimensions. But with God, there's no time, there's no dimension. He has no limitations. You and I have limitations. I'll get to it in just a minute. When we got into time is when God said the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. There was no dying before that. But when God said die, that puts you in a 24-hour day. It puts you, now still Adam lived 920 years after God said that, but he eventually passed away. He was mortal. You and I are mortal, but that thing that was inside of Adam, it wasn't mortal. It was in the spirit realm. Because remember, Adam, before he was put into flesh, was, Brother Brown said, like the Holy Spirit. He just covered all over. He was a person, but he ruled the whole earth, the whole world. He ruled it. Wow. Don't you think, though, that that's not what's going to take us right back to where we're going? Amen? Take her back to the Garden of Eden? What? Before the fall, not after, but before the fall. Because time, Brother Brown said, will blend into eternity. Because remember, time is so strong, though, look, we depend on it. We all depend on a time clock. And you know what? That's why that they're saying now that they may pass legislation here in the state of Georgia to keep the daylight savings time where it is, where it changes in March and it won't change anymore. Because it, how many times of you, it's messed up for about 3 or 4 days. Why? Because you're a time creature. And you get this gain an hour, lose an hour business, and your body's just all, man, you ought to go to the Philippines. You're 12 hours into the next day. That'll mess you up. But you know why, though? Because we're creatures of time. Brother Chris was here the other day, and he's 2 or 3 hours different from us in Arizona. And he said, I don't know why I'm so hungry. I said, because it's 5 o'clock in Arizona. Because your body is hooked to that. It was 5 o'clock there, you know, and it was like 8 o'clock or something here or something like that. And he's like, why am I hungry? I said, well, your body's still back out there in Arizona somewhere in time. So we're still all creatures of time. But when are we going to stop? When we come into this, when we come under this umbrella of God and the revelation, why do we need to be in time? And I'm not talking about looking at our time clock, make sure we don't preach 2 hours. I'm talking about why do we have to worry about time? Why do we have to worry about tomorrow? Why do we have to worry about when we're sitting here today? Take that thing and blank it out. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, what the Bible say? Tomorrow will take care of itself. We all know tomorrow is what day? Monday. And for all of us that work, it's one of the worst days. Why? Because we've had Saturday and Sunday. Well, some of y'all have to work on Saturday being a postal employee, but you have Sunday where you just relax a little bit and you really don't have to feel a lot in time. But boy, Monday morning, you're going to work whether you like it or not. So let's don't worry about it though. But like I said before, and I'll talk about it in a minute, we are influenced. I don't believe Adam, the reason I'm saying this, I don't believe Adam was influenced by time. I don't think he was influenced by dimensions because he was, as far as the earth, he was the God of the earth. Right. Now what does that mean? That means he was ruler of the earth. Right. But when they did what they did and when God declared the day you eat thereof, that day you die, and then that day came, that locked them into these first three dimensions for them to live in. But still remember though, what was Adam created first? Spirit being. God had to have a connection with the spirit world, with Adam, so he could talk to him. Right. What about me and you? Right. You were given a soul for what? To choose by. Right. And when you choose God, God doesn't talk to you through your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. No. God does talk to you through your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, but somebody else does too. Right. But if you're born again of a spirit of God, that soul inside of you came from eternity. And came inside of you, and you should be able to let that thing out and think eternal thoughts. Right. Listen to me, a revelation is eternal thought. Glory. Revelation is not time thought. Right. It's an eternal thought. It's something eternal that God, and you know what Brother Brown said? It's sovereign. Right. He'll give it to you, but you know what? He's not gonna, he didn't give the revelation of the seven seals to Brother Neville. Right. Not knocking Brother Neville at all. Wonderful minister, wonderful brother. But why didn't he give the revelation? He knew he couldn't handle it. He knew by foreknowledge he could predestinate a gift down in this end time called the seventh church age messenger, and he knew that man would be in the eagle anointing and he could go higher and be able to stand. I was reading some quotes a few minutes ago, or last night, sorry, where Brother Branham was talking about, he said, you just don't know. That's talking about sound barrier. He's talking about breaking the sound barrier, but he's talking about doing that in the prayer line. He said, cause when that, he said, when that sound barrier breaks, he said, when I go into another dimension, he said, I don't know if I'm here or I don't know if I'm there. Right. Now what about a man that walks and didn't know what place he was in? And he was standing there. He said, you just don't know what I have to go through. Right. I don't think I'd want that gift. I'm like Brother Dale. I want to think everybody loves me. Brother Ram knew he felt the knife in his back when they were hugging his neck. They were, you know, sticking the knife in his back because he knew what they were thinking. He knew God had let him look in a faster dimension. Listen, when he was up there in that prayer line, there was those demons and nobody could see them but him. That come from another dimension. They wasn't in time, light, and matter. They didn't have length, breadth, and depth. Length, breadth, and depth. No, they came from another dimension. Brother Brown said, I was reading yesterday. He said, oh, sister, you've got cancer. I said, oh, sister, you've got cancer too. Said, the reason I know it, he said, that demon is screaming to that demon for help. He said, I see a black line going across. I thought, my goodness. I'd go crazy. If I could see all the demons, y'all. No. Questions and answers number 4. How can I take a cuckabur? I'll leave it alone. I already got people upset. How can I take a cuckabur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only thing is what? Now look, here's my thought on this and the process I'm taking, why I left that quote in there. The cuckabur has been transmitted from a cuckabur wheat, a cuckabur to a germ called wheat life. Now, that can't happen in these first 3 dimensions. You are a person. You are doomed. You're dying. You're on your way to hell. Right? But by the transforming power of God through the eternal life that he had, he's the only one that can come inside of you, burn your old nature out, your cuckabur nature, and put his life in. The wheat germ. Oh, you still look like you do, but I hope you manifest different. I hope you're not drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, and running around and doing all these things. Ladies, cutting your hair and all. You see, you manifest on the outside what's on the inside. You have to. Because once that life, now still, you know, you made it to the outside world, we look like huckleberries still. But we should never act like one. We should never act like we used to before. Then you bury that cuckabur, it'll produce a grain of wheat because there's a life of wheat put in that cuckabur. And the life of the cuckabur has been taken out, but the nature of the cuckabur is still sticky. What's he talking about? He's talking about still you've got that spiritual nature of memory, reason, conscious effects, and imagination that will torment you until we take a body change. But it less torments you a lot less when you go up that statue of perfect man. Because it takes some of them old demons out. All right. So as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature. What is carnal? What does carnal mean? Just for a second. Human. Human nature. You're going to have a human nature until the day you take change or the day you pass away. Because you won't come back with that kind of human nature when you come back into this dimension with that glorified body. That's what death does. Death separates that. Right? The body stays in the earth. The soul goes into the 6th dimension. But that 6th dimension empties into this dimension, picks up that body, glorifies it, and you don't have that sticky nature no more. Thank the Lord. That's why Brother Brown said, why do I fear death? All the things, Sister Alicia, all the things that bothers us. If I could just tomorrow... Now, nobody wants Sister Alicia to die or me either one. I hope. Yet. But if we pass away, all that's gone. It all passes to John and the Yangins. But for us though, you see how God does it though. God said, Brother Brown said, death will take you into that 6th dimension. He said, and death is only the vehicle that'll take you there because we're trapped in this thing right here. You can't transmigrate my soul. We'll cover that a little bit later, not today. But you can't take my soul and put it in that set of drums. You can't take my soul and put it in Brother Donnie and him into mine. Because Brother Brown covered that in the Church Age book, because there's doctrines that you can migrate a soul and then even the Mormons, we were all souls up in heaven, literal people, according to their doctrine, walking around, making plans, helping the Lord, helping the devil. And then all of a sudden we come down here to fulfill that plan. No, Brother Branham said you were nothing. Just realize it. Let's realize that. But realize when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that takes your mind and turns it back to where it was, that you have heavenly thoughts, that this thing is not going to be over when you die. It's just your beginning. And if you're a Christian, no more sorrow, pain. No. And never will you have to come back here like you were before.
Right.
Why would death scare you as a Christian?
Right.
Paul says, oh death, where's your sting? Grave, the only victory the grave had was he kept him in there for just a little while. But you know what? Paul's waiting. Because when Paul steps back into this dimension with his people, that body is going to have to yield to Paul. And that body is going to connect back with Paul, and he's going to be a young guy again. I've always said before, Brother Dale was talking about this morning, we think, now this is the way we think. If I don't get any further than this, that's okay. This is the way we think. We think that this thing right here is so solid and so, it's dying. But that soul inside of you, I can't explain it, but God had a body back before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And it wasn't, it had no fall to it.
Right.
But that's what we think. We think, oh, when we move into this spiritual realm that we're a lesser person. No, this is the most less you'll be, if that's even a, this would be the less you'll ever be right here. Because that thing inside of you always was eternal. It's as solid and more solid than death itself. Because you know what? When the Apostle Paul, when he laid his precious neck down on that chopping block, and that guy did his job, and he whacked that thing right in the middle of his neck, and his head went rolling this way, and his body fell over. When Paul, just a few seconds later, when he stepped over into that other dimension, he did not have to go find his head.
Right.
He didn't have to go.
No.
Nope. When he stepped over another dimension, he thought, man, I've got a pain in my neck. Got a crick in my neck. But it went away, just like that. So which one was greater? The Paul that mom and daddy brought? Or the Paul that God met him there on the road to Damascus and give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing going to harm us, folks. Nothing can harm a Christian. You can't be shot. Your soul can never be shot. It can never be broke up into pieces. But now listen, folks, if you don't turn yourself over to God, I don't know what your soul going to look like. It's going to be tormented. I don't know what that is. Don't want to know. Just get born again. Just get born again, it'll take care of every bit of that. Psalms 139:15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Listen, we had to be made between mama and daddy. That's what that's talking about. We had to be made between mama and daddy. And I read you the quote where Brother Brown said, we were born between Satan and Eve. People hate that in the message. They do not like that quote, but guess what? It's true.
Amen. Right.
When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet they weren't even on this earth.
Right.
Who was he? He told Jeremiah, one of them, he said, I called you before you was in the womb of your mama. Well, now, that's a figure of speech. He wasn't down there calling for Jeremiah. No, he knew what Jeremiah was going to be when Jeremiah was born, whichever one of them it was. He knew that. He couldn't say, now see, even Brother Brown will talk about Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. See there, no. By foreknowledge, he knew what Esau would do, and he knew what Jacob would do. So therefore, he could, by election, say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Pretty simple, huh? So now let's talk about dimensions just for a few minutes. We live in three dimensions, which is light, time, and matter. Let's read here, Brother Brown, this number, I think it's quote number 4. Present stage of my ministry. If you want to read about all 7 dimensions and get ahead of me, read present stage of my ministry and he'll tell you about all 7. So we've got light, time, and matter, and it's kind of, we'll get to that in just a second. Now when we come along, we remember we live here in 3 dimensions. And I don't know whether I can name them or not. One of them is light, the other is matter. Tommy is either talking to Tommy Osborne or Tommy Hicks, I think. Remember what the third is? Someone says something, he says Adam, and then somebody says time. Time, right, light, matter, and time. And our 5 senses contact them dimensions. Our sight contacts light, our feelings contact matter, and so forth. Number 5, faith without works is dead. Look here, friends, let me give you this illustration. I might have done it before. What color is that shirt? It's white. Anyone that's got sight, know that that shirt's white. You have 5 senses of body, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, none of these senses will declare God. They're to declare this world. When God made man, he made him in his image instead of man. So what's he saying? He made man in spirit image, not in 5 senses. Not in the see, taste, feel, smell, and hear that we know of. You understand what I'm saying? That we live by now? When God made man, he made him in his image instead of man's. And he put him in 5 senses to contact his earthly home. That's Genesis 2:7. Not to contact God with. Those senses don't declare God. They declare the earthly home where the man had to contact his earthly home. He had to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You do not see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it, but you believe it. See what I mean? So you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is what's connected in here. But now what makes all that work is what's down inside. Amen? The motivator of you is your inside person, your soul. That's the motivator. That's where all motivation comes from. That's where your life comes from. That's the real you. That's what separates you from an animal. You have a soul to decide right and wrong. Everybody got that? But we live in, like I said before, we live, our body is actually in 3 dimensions, body, spirit, soul. Like I said before, your body is put here to contact this world and to do the things of the world. Now, your spirit realm, what's it for? Your spirit realm is to contact the inside of the inside guy. Everybody got that? But your soul is the real you. That's the real person of you. That, like I said, the Bible says, don't worry about the body. You can't make your stature no bigger. And the Bible even tells us, he says, don't worry about who can kill your body. Right. Don't worry about who can kill your spiritual being. He said, but you worry about that person that can kill your soul. Right. And the only one person that can kill your soul is God Almighty. Right. Amen. Right. He said, don't worry about it. If you're born again, don't worry about the second death. Well, you say second death. Your first death is physical. Right. And then if you get born again, you have died and resurrected in Christ. And the second death, white throne judgment, has no hold on you. Right. We bypass that. Because right. That theophany, that Genesis 1:26 man, is what God's looking at. And if inside of you, that's what God's looking at. Right. He can't judge you if you've already been judged. What's inside, the real you has already been judged. Right. I read you the quote last Sunday. We were in Christ at Calvary. We were in Christ in the tomb. We actually went to hell with him. Right. When he went and preached to the souls in prison, we were inside of that theophany. Right. So you don't have to go to hell again. You've already been. Right. But your body, let me read something right here. Because man had contact with both worlds, heaven and earth, he had to be able to communicate with both these worlds. That's why God made Adam a spiritual being first. But now remember, he was made a spiritual being that was given eternal life as a grown man. But you and I, because of what happened in the fall, because of the sex act, you and I had to become a baby. Amen? We had to come a baby, and we had to be given a soul that came from God that was perfect. That's why all babies go to heaven. That's why the age of accountability. What? The age of accountability in this world. It's what? Whatever you think, 12, 13, 14, whatever year old you want it to be. It's when you know right from wrong. It's when you know not to do what you're doing. But God, though, has given you a human body by mom and daddy coming together through the egg and the sperm. They give you this physical body. Listen, there's no life in that. Everybody got that? There's zero life in that. Brother Branham said, oh, that's just wiggling muscles. It's just what? It's receptors firing. It's the firing of your brain and everything being made, but there's no life there. Thank God for a prophet. He said the only time there's life is when that baby comes out of the womb and the doctor, pow, and then God gives it life. God gives it life, but it's not eternal life. He gives it a natural life. He gives it a soul to make a choice with. That's why I thank God for a prophet. I was looking at a kid the other day from Guiltville, and it's Tammy Harrison and Pete Harrison. We've known them forever. They have a child, a Down syndrome child. And thank God that Brother Branham, I'm like, how can God judge that? He can't. Because that's what mom and daddy did. He's locked into that. But remember, his soul doesn't look like that. And Brother Brown said he even had a special angel that was with him all during their life. Oh, what a God. What a God that can do that for somebody. And he's got a more chance to go to heaven than me and you sitting here. And if you turn the word down, you're going to hell. But because of what man has done, mom and daddy, I love what Brother Branham in one, I'll try to find it because I want to read that one. He's getting a prayer line and they walk up and he's talking about demons and we'll talk about it next Sunday in fourth dimension. He talks about a demon and then somebody walks up and he said, that's not a demon. He said, in other words, that was just genetically, something genetic going on in the body. That's just because mom and daddy. Maybe because, I think they do what, different chromosomes? When you have a Down syndrome, they have too many of this one and not enough of this one. Well, see, to me, that's life. But God gives you the soul anyway. But he takes that soul and he says, that's not your fault. He said, that's Adam's fault. He said, but I went to Calvary for Adam. He said, I went to Calvary for you too. He said, you don't have a way to make a choice. He said, so I'm going to give you eternal life. Now, they'll never be bride, but guess what? They'll have eternal life. Duty. Different ones, I'm telling you. You look at them and you think, boy, no, they got more chance than we do. Right. If we don't get right with God. But the three dimensions. Now listen. If you'll think about this just for a second, then we'll stop. Because we're on the three dimensions and I want us to take communion and we'll go. Every time that God has to come down into this dimension, a couple things happen. Now remember, before the fall, Adam and Eve, Brother Brown said, they just communed like this, just every day. You know, God just walks down to cool the day. Hey, Adam, how you doing? Oh, Dad, I'm doing good. Everything's fine. And then when the fall happened, it separated that or unplugged that, and they had to be caught into this dimension. What about poor old Adam? I think, man, Adam had all this responsibility, and Adam had all this. He could just travel like a thought and be over there. I just believe that. And after the fall, though, that couldn't happen anymore. He was stuck in this dimension, the first three dimensions. But you look and you see that when man fell, time began. So you had to start recording time. But once that dimension locked in, when God broke into this dimension, it's always been with noise. It's always been with two things. Thunder and a cloud. You think about it. You think about what I told you that Brother Branham said there in Statue of a Perfect Man. He said, you sit there and you listen, and here it comes. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. Faster and faster and faster. What's it doing? It's coming into this dimension. But watch in Exodus 20, verse 18. Let's go to that one real quick, and we'll read that. Now, remember, Brother Branham talks about the sound barrier, and we'll read it next Sunday. And I believe that that's what happened when the seals broke. God came from eternity to this dimension to give that seven-seal book to that prophet. Amen. For him to give it to us. Right. Amen? And what happened? There was thunder and a big old cloud happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that came from something supersonic. Yeah. It wasn't man, though. Yeah. No. Exodus 20, verse 18, and all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, when is this? This is when Moses, God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, which at that time, would say Brother Brown calls it the seals. Thundering and lightning. John 12, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, Jesus heard it, but the people around him didn't hear it. They heard thunder. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Boy, look how mysterious this is. All right, let's read one more. Revelations 10. What happened in Revelations 10? I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was a sun, and his feet a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot on land, his left foot on earth, and cried with a loud voice. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Anytime God comes down, when seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal it up. Then we keep reading in Revelation 19, verse 5. In Revelation 6, verse 1, I saw when the angel opened one of the seals. I heard it was the voice of noise of thunder. But it wasn't just a noise, because look, one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to leave you with this thought right here. I don't care what this dimension we're in, light, time, and matter. We'll get to that next Sunday because we're going to take communion today. But when you have an experience with God, it ought to shake you.
Amen.
It ought to shake you.
Right.
Like Brother Dale said about Revelation. Revelation will change you. There's only one thing that'll change you, because listen, even Brother Brown said, Brother Brown, they said, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? He said it's the revelation or the thundering voice of Jesus Christ personally to you. Because you hear what God said. How many times Brother Brown said, remember he was standing up on that rock and the whirlwind and all the people had to run under the bus and run under the cars, and he said, get down, blew the mountain off. Why didn't it hurt him? Because God was speaking to him. God was talking to him when that thing came down over him. They heard nothing but just confusion. That's the problem now. They just heard confusion. They heard what they wanted to hear. But they said, Brother Brown, what was that? He said, God was talking to me. Up on that mountain to get marriage and divorce, he said, he came and told me. And they looked at it and they saw this amber light going up and down. He didn't talk to them people down there at the gas station. He was talking to one man. Same way with me and you. Let God speak to you. I know we're stuck in this dimension. We're stuck. We're tired. We're weary. We're worn. We're still concerned about first one thing and another. Please, people, believe that that thing inside of you is more real than you. How do you get your healing? I say, God, that thing inside of me is not sick. It can't get sick. This gets sick because mom and daddy brought it. But that soul that God gave you is eternal. Never will get sick. Never will have a problem. Our problem is his greatest battle ever fought. Why fight the thing it wants to save you? But we do. Let's stand to our feet. These three dimensions, yes sir, they'll hold you right here. But remember, if you're born again today, you were a spiritual being before there ever was a foundation of the world. You were a part of God. You had a legacy. You had a piece of God waiting on you. And when you got down here, you absolutely fulfilled what was there. Brother Brown said, if you have eternal life tonight, that eternal life in you always was eternal. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads just for a minute before we take communion. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you'd be with each one. As we come to this place, we haven't taken communion in a couple of months, Lord, and we pray that you'd just bless us. Lord, give us revelation. As we drink this wine and partake of this bread, Lord, we know it's what we do in this dimension. But Lord, we know that it come from a heavenly dimension where you're sitting now at the right hand of the Father. Lord, but you're down here though in spirit form in your bride. And as we lift that cup up and as we lift that bread up, Lord, we know that one day there was nails put in that body of yours. We know that when they lifted you up, that all the weight of the world crashed down on your shoulders when they dropped that cross down in that hole. And there we were. Your bride. Locked into a dimension of body, spirit, and soul of a man called Jesus. But Lord, that wasn't the end. That was only the beginning. Because when you died, you tore your life out of that body, you went to hell and preached the souls in prison. Come back up through paradise and pick those up, Lord, that were stuck in those dimensions. The bosom of Abraham, Lord, you emptied it out and took them to glory with you. But Father, you didn't stay there. You promised, Lord, a few days before you went to the crucifixion, you promised, I'll come back. I'll send the Comforter, and I will not be just with you, I'll be in you. See, you couldn't be in the people at the time you were walking on the earth. But Lord, when you come back on the day of Pentecost, now you can go into any believing heart of the 7 billion people on this earth today. You could enter into every one of their soul and give them eternal life. Father, I pray that if someone here doesn't have the new birth, Lord, I pray that you would sound a thundering voice in their heart. Say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here we are taking the communion, the representation of the blood and a representation of the body that was broken for us at Calvary. And Lord, we know that one day we'll get to talk to you and you can relay that experience to us firsthand. Because the nail scars will still be there. The nail prints will still be in your feet. But they're there for me. So that I can come forth in a perfect body. And have eternal life and be able to live. Not have to worry about it in the back of our mind. Have to worry about slipping up or messing up or getting a disease or being hungry. Or no more of that. Lord, we know too much of that as human beings because we live in this carnal nature and the carnal mind. But I pray, Lord, just for a minute now that you would release that so we can see that eternal dimension. And people, your bride can look inside of each other. We can look inside of ourself. And you can help us see that what we have is you. As Brother Dale's talking about, Lord, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we all have a part we got to play. We're part of your body. And we must be made manifest. We must be made known. We will be manifest, Lord, on this earth. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now. Give us supernatural guidance and supernatural faith, Father, for the rest of this journey. We ask in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. If there's any sick among us, we pray, Lord, that you said you sent your word and heal them. We pray that they'll dig deep inside. Brother Brown said, Jesus said if he was standing right here tonight, he couldn't heal you. If he was standing right here in a suit of clothes, he's already healed you before the foundation of the world. So if any of you need healing, Father, we pray that you would touch them, Lord, and give them strength for their journey. Brother Kern out there in the parking lot, Lord, we pray that you'd be with him and bless him, Lord. And his family. Keep them away from this cursed virus, Lord. We pray that you just bless each one now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's not forget, if he wants to take communion, I think we can give him communion, don't you? Out there, yeah, we can give him communion if he wants it. You going to give him? Okay, good. Okay, all right. You want to do the... I was hoping you'd say that. I got to find it. I never have that thing marked in my Bible. I do have it marked, but I got to find it. Bear with me, please. It's in my old Bible, and I've got it all marked up, and I can't even find it in this one. But yeah, let's give him communion out there. And if his family's out, is they all out there? Okay. All right. Corinthians. I took every one of these out of my Bible. I can't. What is it, Corinthians? Oh, got it. Okay, right. Thank you, Lord. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. See, he hadn't died yet. There was no New Testament. That's why we say that, and it's true, the New Testament began on the day of Pentecost. When this New Testament came, not the regular blood and the wine and the eating of the bread. It's when Christ came back on the day of Pentecost and put his life inside. That was a New Testament. But the testator had to die first. He hadn't died yet. But he's prophesying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. As I said before, let's look deep inside of ourselves. Don't look at others, look at ourselves. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning. Now what's the Lord's body? We are. Okay? What's the Lord's body? Us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, our condemnation, you've passed from death unto life. You're not condemned with the world. Right. Cannot, will not ever be if you're born again. Why? Because he took your condemnation at Calvary. That's what he's fixing to do right here. It's what he's telling them. They didn't understand it at the time. But boy, when Paul instituted this in Corinthians, I believe they understood. I know Paul did. Right. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together into condemnation. What were they doing? They were sitting down and eating a regular meal and getting drunk, the prophet said, at the communion table. But this is not. It's a solemn time. Because a lot of them down here, it says that many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. You make sure that you can take this communion. Amen? And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's take a moment of silence, praying one for the other. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this bread that's been prepared by holy hands. It's not just been bought at a grocery store that anybody and everybody's touched, but Lord, it's been made according to your Bible. So now I pray that as we take this communion that we'll understand, Lord, that your body was laid stripes and it was driven holes in it and there was a crown of thorns on your head. Lord, you look terrible, but Lord, to the Christian, it's the most beautiful thing that ever happened on earth. Father, we pray that you just be with us now and let this be a sanctification to our body in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, his legs wasn't broke. We know that because the Bible said he wouldn't be. But he was a broken man when he was on Calvary. He cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, where's that anointing I had before? Where's that peace? But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He did exactly what he was told to do. we need to yield ourselves to the same thing. Do what he said do. I used to stand back there a lot of times when I was a young kid and thought, why in the world these people? Of course, being a kid, not being a Christian, I thought, what's that going to do for me? It's according to what you want it to do. It's according to what you want it to do. To Heavenly Father, we pray for this wine, Lord. It's been made with holy hands. And now I pray, Lord, that as we partake of this, as it, Lord, ferments and gets better and better with age. Father, we know that your Bible, your word, Lord, it gets better and better as time goes on. And Father, we're looking at the time that we can get into eternity, Father, where we can drink this with you there, Lord, in that wedding supper, Lord. We pray that you just sanctify the people. Bless us now as we take this communion in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just take that for...
Tell everybody these are disposable, so they're...
The ones they're drinking out of are disposable, so there won't be any cross-contamination. You got bread? Okay. Be careful. God bless you. Boy, I'm glad he's here. Man, that makes me feel good.
Amen.
But I knew, you know what? Some will stay home when their cat's sick, but some will come here when their kids are dying. Ask Ryan and Gabby about that. How many of you would do that? But you know what? Kid didn't die.
Right.
Kid's back there in the back playing. So it's what you say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. What you say, what you have in your heart. But just think about these things that we've been talking about. It's like with Brother Dale talking about the what you are. You're the sinless bride of Jesus Christ. And that was part of the plan.
Right.
See, we're not out of the plan. Being out of the plan is everything else. Everything else is out of the plan of God except God inside of you. That was his whole plan. Now sure, he's got part of the plan where he's going to have a foolish virgin. He's got part of a plan where he's going to have people that are given eternal life because of their condition that they're born with or the different things like mongoloid or different things like that, Down syndrome. They're going to be given eternal life. He's got a place for them. That's part of his grace and part of his plan. It's part of his plan of the people that are going to be given eternal life for being good to you. Don't know a thing about God. I don't want to chance that though. Brother John, I know too much. We know too much. We got too much going on. We can't plead. There was an ignorance offering in the Bible for people that were ignorant, that didn't know the customs of the land. But that ignorance offering wasn't for the priest. They died if they did something wrong. It was an ignorance offering for somebody, a stranger that come in and maybe defiled something that didn't really understand. And we know that being young Christians, we make mistakes. But now as we grow older, Paul said the things I do, I would not and all that. But he said one time, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. He said, but when I became an adult, he said, I put away my childish things. There's some things that we should not have to deal with. Sure, we like to drink milk. But I don't think, mama's my mama, but I don't think she'd let me sit in her lap now.
Right.
A little too big for that. And she'd be telling me, grow up, boy! I mean, that's the way, isn't that the way it is with God? Grow up, child! Come on! Get off my knee! You're growing. Get up. Do something. Praise God for yourself. Amen. We serve a gracious God that we can even do this. And pray for each other. Just remember what I said. We love you with the love of the Lord. I just want it to be done. I'm a stickler for doing things right and trying to get things done. I know I don't do it all the time, and neither does any of y'all. But we try, and we're held to a different position when we got a position. So just remember that. Amen. God bless you. Take communion. That's good. Let them go ahead and take them. We're not going to do foot washing. I'll be glad when we get back to foot washing too. Amen. Get all these ordinances back. But God bless you. We love you. Let's just take a second and let them get these up. And like I said, thank God for everything you do though. There's an old saying that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but that's okay. That's all right, because we need everybody.
Right.
We need everybody to come to church, do their due diligence. But what's more important, folks, is to pray before you get here.
Right.
Pray for a service that we can that we can break out. I'm just waiting in the man for Brother John to take off down that aisle when he starts singing those songs. And I told him, I said, I'm like Brother Dale, I may come out that side door and follow you a little bit, but, and we know that's not everything, but there's an atmosphere that you bring. And it's hard to fight it if it don't get left at that door up back there. Amen? Okay. All right, you want two? Okay. Brother Donnie's going to get two prayer cloths while they're finishing up right there, Will. For the brother on. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been talking to me about the Lord.
Okay.
Been a long time.
Okay. Well, we don't have to pray for him. You know what that is. You just put him on him and how many you need? One? Well, I'm going to give you two. Yes. Yes, ma'am. And you know where they go.
Yeah.